The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus and his disciples left from that place and began a journey through the Galilee. But he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, Jesus began to ask them, "What were you arguing about along the way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed the child in their midst, and putting his arms around the child, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus has just left the region of Caesarea Philippi by the coast. Caesarea was the seat of government for occupying Rome. The governor, Pontius Pilate, had his headquarters in Caesarea. Whenever there was a large gathering in Jerusalem, he would make his presence known, maintained a palace there as well. So they're making their way across the northern part of the Galilee toward Capernaum by the sea, where Jesus lived in the house of Simon and Andrew and their families. We're in the 9th chapter of Mark. There are only 14 chapters in Mark. And Jesus makes it known that he didn't want anybody to know that he was making his way through the Galilee. Which is strange, because the whole reason he came was to proclaim the good news and to proclaim the kingdom of God. But they're making their way ultimately to Jerusalem, and Jesus wants to take this time to prepare his disciples and, as the gospel tells us, to teach them, to school them up, to prepare them for what lay ahead, not only in Jerusalem, but in their lives as well. And in this teaching that Jesus gives the closest disciples, you can even feel the distance in Mark's rendering, you know, because Jesus has asked them that difficult question, "What were you arguing about?" as we made our way. And it says, he called the 12. They're in the home. Jesus is calling them closer to him. He wants to teach them and us two lessons. Two lessons that are essential for discipleship in his name. And these are not dichotomous lessons that stand alone. These are lessons we need to learn over and over again, as did the disciples. And the two lessons are these. First, if you want to be great, you must become the least among the folks and the servant of all. That's radically at the heart of discipleship, being the servant of others, of spending your life energy in loving service, not reluctant service, but loving service of those who fill your life. I want to share a brief anecdote with you that occurred in my own life, but I suspect that it'll resonate with all of you as well. It took place years ago. I was filling in on a weekend in a parish in Portland, kind of like a Hertz rent-a-priest. And after the Saturday night mass, having greeted the folks after mass, there was a young woman off at a distance but loitering with intent. I went over to her and I said, "Good evening, can I help you?" She said, "Are you the Father Carey that taught English at LaSalle High School?" And I said, "I am." She said, "I was one of your students. Do you remember me?" I said, "I need a little prompt." She said, "My name is Judy." And then it all came back. I had taught Judy in, well, at least we showed up in the same room for two advanced English courses in her senior year. And she said, "I've owed you a thank you for many years, and tonight I get to pay that off." I said, "I'm listening, Judy." And she said, "I don't remember any of the English you taught me." I said, "Judy, nothing?" I said, "A participle, a gerund, little punctuation rules, anything." She said, "Oh, I'm sure it's all up there somewhere. I made it through college." She said, "But what I want to thank you for is something else. You see, it was in the early 70s that this took place. Really difficult time, especially for young people in our country. We were mired in the horrible mistake of Vietnam. Young lives were just consumed. For what?" And I can tell you, because I was a counselor in that school as well, that our young men were scared to death. They didn't want to graduate. Also, it was the first time that a number of the older faculty members remember drugs infiltrating our high schools. Really difficult time. And what Judy said to me was, "I want to thank you for preventing us kids from becoming broken." Just by ordinary, routine caring about them, showing up, being there in their lives for them. The very same thing that good parents do over and over again. Grandparents and aunts and uncles and teachers and helpers and everybody whose life interacts them with people who have need of any kind. That's where discipleship shows up. That's what Jesus means about being the servant of all and the least of all. That the emphasis, the energy, the love goes to those with whom we share our lives. The second lesson, Jesus presented a little child to his disciples. Become like this one. Become like this one. A child, always a blessing in the Jewish tradition, also represents in the gospel all those who are powerless, all those who have no standing, all those who have no gravitas, apparently, in their lives. And that's a foundational lesson for the church. We are all equal. Nobody is better, more loved, closer to the royal mint jelly than anybody else. We all put our drawers on one leg at a time. We are all the beloved of God, no exceptions. The most important thing about the Pope, the Holy Father, is that he's baptized into Jesus' name. That's why there is, in discipleship, no room for the isms, the racism that doesn't allow a person to see another as an equal brother or sister. Why? Because of language? Because of skin tone, melanin? Racism is foundationally evil because of its hierarchical nature. Ageism, dismissing someone because he or she has gray hair or no hair. Ageism, automatically elevating youth over wisdom and experience. We are all equally beloved of God. No one better than anybody else. Educationism, financialism, anything that leads a person to believe that they're children of a higher God. Jesus' lesson, loving service, and we're all equal. We're all the children of God, loving us to the end. Such a precious, simple, gracious teaching that our Jesus gives us. And a reminder that all the good things that take place in the daily, the routine, ordinary things of the day, are the things of the kingdom. That's how the good news is manifest. The simple things of the daily, loving service, presence, being there for people, and for beginning with the last and the least. And the logic there is quite simple. If we are to serve the last and the least and don't become among the last and the least, how will we recognize them? We're all called to unity in Jesus the Christ. The thing that the disciples were avoiding was dealing with that harsh reality that Jesus presented to them. In Jerusalem, the Son of Man will be handed over and will be killed and then rise again. They did not want to hear about the upcoming crucifixion of Jesus. In the Galilee, in the north, following Jesus was a great time. Good things happened every day. He healed people. People could hear who couldn't hear before, could see who couldn't see before. He taught them. He opened up a new way to come to God. Not from the 613 Mosaic laws, but from loving service and the good news of God's gratuitous love. Healing the sick, proclaiming the kingdom, welcoming people, giving them hope in their hopeless lives, taxed to the max by the Roman authority and by the authority of the temple in Jerusalem. People were at the end of their hope, and Jesus gave them hope and meaning back to them. The Galilee was a delight, hearing Jesus each day, seeing how he would open up, explaining his parables to the people. Extraordinary experience. It's in Jerusalem. It's in Jerusalem that the tax came. that the suffering took place and the resurrection of Christ. And I suppose one of the great ironies is, to the best of my knowledge, except for John the Evangelist, apostle, all the apostles ultimately were martyred. They all understood and embraced at the end the Jerusalem in their lives. But the key piece is what Jesus taught them in the Galilee: loving service with humility, loving service as an equal, as a powerless one, all of us children of the same God. And there's been so much distortion in the history of Christianity about that Jerusalem event, elevating suffering into some kind of good, that God sends suffering into our lives. No, God doesn't. Cancer doesn't come from God. Destruction doesn't come from God. And ultimately, understanding what that cross means to us, it means what Jesus taught us: loving service. It's not the suffering of Jesus that saved us. Suffering is an evil. It's an absence of a good. It's not the suffering of Jesus that saved us. It's the love with which he suffered that saved us. It's that extraordinary wellspring of generous love in which Jesus surrendered his life for us. That's what saved us. And that's exactly the life to which Jesus called his early disciples and calls us through the virtue of our baptism and through the instruction of the Holy Word. Loving service, lived as equals. Thank you for listening to me today.